story is told of a man named Gene, who one day a big storm came through and blew over the tree in his front yard. And you say, that is so sad, right? I mean, that was probably a beautiful tree. Well, he wasn't really upset because it was a Bradford pear. You guys know Bradford pears? Okay. Everything's fine in the spring. Like, spring has sprung, and you're walking down the path, and you see this gorgeous flowering tree. It's all white flowers, and you're standing there. You're just like, look at that thing, and you're like, what smells? What is that? What is that smell? And you're like, oh, yeah, Bradford pear. You know what I'm talking about? No? They smell horrible. Like, it is the worst-smelling tree in history. My family, we had one. Okay, I had one in my backyard. We'd be out there with cookouts, and people were like, did something die in your backyard? No, it's spring. Spring has sprung, and it's that tree right there. So he wasn't very sad, and he also wasn't very sad because he was really excited. He wanted to plan ahead for winter, and he wanted to cut that thing up and make some firewood. So he went to the hardware store, and he started to talk to the sales guy and say, okay, I need a huge chainsaw. I've got a tree that fell in my yard. I want to turn this thing into firewood, and like he wanted an opportunity just to feel like a man, because there's nothing that helps you feel like a man more than power tools, gasoline, the smell of exhaust, and knives or sharp things. It just happens. So the salesman's like cha-ching, right? Because this guy wants to spend a lot of money. And so he walks him over to the Husqvarna 450 Rancher and says, this right here is exactly what you need. And the guy says, can this get through this tree? I've only got a day. Okay, I've only got a day to be a man. So I'm going to be a man for a day. Is that going to work? He's like, oh yeah, that'll plow through that tree in no time. So all of a sudden this guy begins to dream. He is dreaming about what his day is going to be like. He's like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to conquer this tree, right? He's got it all figured out. He goes home, and he just pulls that chainsaw out. He starts huffing and puffing and working hard. And he gets really frustrated because at the end of the day, he's about ready to take the chainsaw back. He works a little longer. The sun goes down, and he's like, that's it. This thing is not working. He said, I can plow through this tree. He goes back to the hardware store and starts to talk to the salesman. He says, you told me this thing would plow through the tree, no problem. And the salesman's like, well, let me take a look. I mean, let me take a look at this thing. Takes the Husqvarna 450 Rancher and sets it on the ground, pulls the cord and goes, vroom! And the man goes, what's that sound? What's that sound? Sorry, I don't do those kind of stories very often, but it works here, okay? You see, sometimes we can live the Christian life in the exact same way, can't we? We can have dreams of all the grandeur of Christ-likeness, and we could say, okay, here we go, here's my task, I'm going to work at it, I'm going to do it, I've got it under control, and we huff and we puff, but without the power that is available to us, everything we do is worthless. I mean, have you ever tried to focus on an area of your life and just said, okay, you know what? I'm not gentle. I've just got to be gentle. And you just start working on it. You're like, okay, the next time a hard thing comes, I'm going to be gentle. You ever done that before? And you focus on it, and you focus on it, and you focus on it, and maybe the next hard thing comes and you are gentle, but then you realize that there's other things that start to fall apart as well. It's like you're attacking something and you don't have any power to attack it with. I know that's a completely cheesy illustration, but how often does that hit close to our real life, doesn't it? I mean, there's an incredible power available to us in gospel growth, in virtue, and how often do we instead just try whacking at it with a dead chainsaw? And we're frustrated because nothing's changing. And we can't see why we aren't moving ahead and advancing. So we're going to look at John chapter 15 because Jesus is going to tell us where the power is. So John chapter 15, would you look at this with me? In John chapter 15, Jesus is going to describe for us where the power for virtuous living comes from. He starts in verse 1 and he describes that he is the true vine. I am the true vine, John 15, verse 1, and my Father is the vine dresser. Then go down to verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So there's some truths in that verse that if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you could tell me, right? Some of those truths are, okay, I can't live the Christian life on my own. I mean, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that. You could tell me that your only strength in the Christian life comes from God. In fact, it even says it so clearly. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So let me ask you the question, then how do you experience that in your Christian life? How does that work itself out? How does that work itself out when it comes to developing and displaying the excellencies of Jesus Christ? How does that work itself out? That's the question that we want to answer this morning when we look at the power for virtue. So I'm going to give you the answer right at the beginning because it comes right out of what Jesus says in John chapter 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What is the power? What is the power? The power for virtue is found in Christ alone. So where do we get the strength and the enabling and the ability to develop and display the excellencies of Jesus Christ? From Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. So what does that look like? Well, it looks like this. It looks like if we are to live the Christian life, if we are to make any steps towards looking like Jesus and showing off his excellencies, then it must be God's power that works in us, right? So it's God's power in us and through us that enables us to live the Christian life, to develop Christ-likeness and then display it to other people. But what we're going to see and what we've seen over and over again, the purpose of that purpose is to give glory to God. The reason God does it in us is so that we can reflect it back to him. So Jesus says it this way. He said it in our passage. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And later on in the passage, he says, by this, by you allowing the strength of God to live through you, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, display, develop Christ-likeness, and so prove to be my disciples. So the power for virtuous living, it comes from Christ alone. How does that work out then? How does that work out? It works out this way. It works out that we see the purpose. We know that there's an obstacle to that purpose. It's our flesh. It gets in the way. It always wants to take the goals of Christ-likeness and it wants to twist them. So it wants to say, well, I've got this together. I'm probably okay today. I don't need God as much today as I did yesterday because I really used him yesterday, and so like today I'm good. I filled up. Or we turn it and we say, well, if I could just look good enough on the outside, then people would look at me and notice how Christ-like I am, then I would feel really good about myself. I did something today. Right? So we see our purpose, we acknowledge that there's an obstacle to that purpose, and we say, no, actually, I want to live in dependence. I want to live in God's power for his glory. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And in living that, the Father is glorified, that we bear much fruit. So, two things I want us to notice about the power. Two things. And the first thing is that power is available to you. Okay, it's not a mystery. It's not a secret. It's not something that you have to go hunting for and it's like, man, I hope I can find it. No, if you are in Christ, that power is available. And your first blank is, Christ's Spirit dwells in the Christian by the Holy Spirit. So that power is available by the Holy Spirit. So the second we start talking about the Holy Spirit, the second I put that up there, we've all got this weird thing that happens in our brain. Okay? All of a sudden, you start to think of something mystical. It could be cloud-like or it could be a dove. Okay? I don't know. I searched for Holy Spirit on Google Images, and this is what I got. All right? I'm like, that is so encouraging. Just look at that. I feel like I just want to go, right? So all of a sudden, I mentioned Holy Spirit, and you're like, okay, he's going to talk about Holy Spirit. Great, let's start thinking. All right, wow, cloudy thing. Dove. Yep, all right, good. So get that in your mind. No, get that out of your mind. Because if this is what we put onto the person of the Trinity, that is an actual person, he's not just a thing, he's not just a force, he's not just a cloud, he's not just a dove. He is a person that is meant to dwell within us to help us to know that God is with us every moment of every day. If we do anything else but realize that he is that person, then we've missed the power that's available. So what's this power? Well, it's literally Christ's Spirit indwelling us by the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about what that means. So Jesus, right before John 15, begins to describe this Holy Spirit that's coming. So flip over to John 14. You're there. So let's look at John chapter 14. So Jesus is going to encourage the disciples that he's going to leave. And he's going to say, I'm going to leave, but I want to encourage you with a few things. Verse 1, he begins to describe that he's going to go to prepare a place where they will be with him forever. Wonderful. Then he begins to describe how the Father is with them because they've seen him. So it's like the Father is there. But then he describes something else. He describes this coming person of the Holy Spirit. And he says it in verse 16. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So I'm going to leave, but when I leave, I'm going to ask the Father to give another helper. He will be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is encouraging, okay? I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And later on in the text, he says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So what's Jesus encouraging his disciples with? He says, I'm going to leave. If I leave, I'm going to send another helper. That word another is really important. It's not like when mom and dad go on a date and they say, I'm going to send another person to watch you. And you're like, what is that other person going to be like? Okay, and you can go one of two ways. You can go like Grandma Bertha that like has the huge glasses, right? And she's just going to pinch your cheeks all night long. That's going to be a fun night. Or you can go with the teenage girl who's just texting her boyfriend all night, okay? I'm going to send somebody, another helper, and you're like, let's play. And she's like, I got to text my boyfriend. Be quiet. Go sit in your room. It's not like that at all. When Jesus says another, if we knew Greek, we would immediately hear something. We would immediately hear that that word right there means this. Another person who is just like me. That's what that word means. So it's not like another person that's kind of a halfway substitute. It's just like me. So I'm going to leave, but just like me is going to come, and he's going to be in you and with you. This isn't a dove. Like, whew, man, I really got to get through a day. I need a dove to just flutter above me. No, another just like Jesus himself will be with you, and he will be in you. To the point that Jesus says, if you aren't happy about that, you obviously don't understand who this person is. Because in John chapter 16, Jesus says this. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus, why did you have to leave? I want you. I don't want some force or being or power. And Jesus says, you obviously do not know who the Holy Spirit is, because it's actually better for me to leave. Would you hear that for a second? It's better for Christ to leave the disciples and give them the Holy Spirit than if he was flesh and blood right next to them every single day. Okay, that's good news, right? How is that good news? How's that good news, Kareem? Yes. Hey, while Jesus is on the earth, he can only be at one place at one time, right? The Holy Spirit comes and he can be everywhere all the time. He's there when you struggle in temptation. He's there when you feel like you're all alone. You don't have to go somewhere to find him. He's right. It is to your advantage that I leave. And we say, thank you. Jesus says this to comfort his disciples. I'm going to go away, but actually, it's better that I go away. You don't want me here. You want the Spirit here. So I want you to think about this for just a second. This power that is available for you indwells you by the Holy Spirit to the point that someone just like Jesus dwells inside of you. And all of a sudden, your little encyclopedia, you've been saved for like 7+ years. You're like, I know. I know that. I mean, everybody knows the Holy Spirit lives inside you. Like, right? I mean, that's like, okay, seriously, I know you may know it. But like, do you believe that? Do you believe that right now, this very minute, God dwells within you? So you say, I want to live the Christian life, but I'm struggling. And God is saying, I'm here. You think, man, if I could just talk to God about this, I mean, I just wish I could see him. I just wish I could just touch him. I mean, why can't I just touch him? And God says, well, the Spirit's in you. It's better than if you could touch him. That power for virtuous living is available right now for you if you are in Christ. So before you even move on, before you even be like, check that off the list, do you believe it that God lives in you? All of a sudden that dove is kind of like, well, that's kind of silly. Like the person of the Trinity lives within us to take what is Christ's and declare it to us. So what's that saying? That's saying that everything that Jesus has and is, the Holy Spirit is within us, telling us over and over again that it is yours too. So all of Christ's likeness, all of his ability to handle temptation, all of his ability to be gentle and joyful and patient and peaceful and loving and gracious, the Holy Spirit is over and over again telling you, that is yours. It's in you right now. It's yours because Christ has it, and so therefore you have it. Let me take what is Jesus's and give it to you. It's like he's whispering in your ear, you have it. It's right there. God is in you. God's in you. God's in you. So that power is within us. Your next blank then, it's available to us. He's taking what is Christ and making it us ours, making it ours. His Spirit dwells in the Christian by the Holy Spirit to produce virtuous living. So what he's doing is, he's saying over and over again, I want to produce this in you. So all of a sudden, you should be thinking, well, what does the Spirit produce? The Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? I mean, that's an incredible list that shows us really Christ-likeness. I mean, man, how did Christ react in the circumstance? Well, he was joyful, loving, peaceful, patient, good, kind, self-controlled, gentle, and faithful in every circumstance. So we looked at this quote earlier, but okay, what is virtuous living? What is the virtue of a man? In a word, his life must reflect something of the attractive character of Christ. For Christ is the man par excellence, the proper man. True human excellence, then, is Christ-likeness. And what is the Spirit within you right this very moment doing? Taking what is Christ's and declaring it to you. That's available. That's available. So we begin to see things like what Romans 8 tells us, and it begins to take a clearer picture for us. What Romans 8 says. It says, if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you by his Spirit, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what is the Spirit doing? The Spirit is in us, causing us to produce virtuous living. Now let's go back to that beginning where I said sometimes we can focus on one area of the Christian life and say, okay, today I want to be patient today because I'm not patient, and the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is patience, and so I really need to work on my patience today. Anybody ever done that before? Anybody ever said, you know what, I'm not self-controlled, so today is going to be a self-control day, right? Today is going to be, and we kind of treat the fruit of the Spirit like it's if we do these things, then we will have the Spirit. Anybody? Am I just the only one? Yeah, okay. We're like, okay, I'm not gentle, so I must not be spiritual. But actually, remember what this list says. This list doesn't say this is the list that if you can get this, then you become spiritual. It says that if you have the Spirit, then this is what the Spirit produces. So here's the test. The test then becomes, are these things growing in you symmetrically? Like, are these things growing in you together? Because the test is, if you say, you know what, man, I really want to see if I'm living in the Spirit-produced virtue, and we begin to look, and gentleness is off the charts, and maybe even patience is off the charts, but faithfulness is horrible. We are unbelievably undependable, okay? Or perhaps we are just really, we seem to be a really joyful person. We're just bubbly and gregarious, and it seems like we're just always happy. Could be just because we're a happy person. But a hard time comes, and we are just angry. Is that Spirit-filled living just because we're joyful? Well, we're Spirit-filled in our joy, but in our anger, we're not really. No, the test is whether or not these things are growing symmetrically. It's not like we look at our Christian life the way that old carnival game goes, where, you know, the old horse race game where, you know, the horses are running and one's getting ahead, and so people are, like, it's either a water thing that you're shooting at a target, you got to get it right on the target, and then your horse will move ahead. And so your Christian life is just spent looking at the horses of joy, patience, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, temperance, all those things, and just being like, okay, which one's ahead? All right, I got to get on that sprayer. And like get the self-control thing running ahead. Okay, good, self-control's ahead. Let's get back on the faithfulness meter. The test is if the Spirit is producing these, he's producing them symmetrically. They're growing together in tandem. And this is gospel growth. Otherwise, it's flesh-produced, not Spirit-produced. Otherwise, if we focus on the one without the Spirit producing it, we're focusing on the one for the wrong reason. Because if we turn to the Spirit who produces life, then the Spirit produces all of these things. That's how gospel growth occurs. So Christ's Spirit indwells the Christian by the Holy Spirit to produce virtuous living. So then, if that's true, if that's available, that's in you, that is available to you because God himself dwells within you. That's true. And how do we access it? How do we get that? God is in you right this minute, so how does that power become experienced in your life? How does it actually work itself out? Well, over and over again, we're going to talk about this in gospel growth. We never move past the basics. And what we're going to see is this is the basics of dependent diligence. Right? Remember how we talked about gospel growth is over and over again, depending on the Spirit's help, and then in the Spirit's strength, we begin to make choices and obey God. So it's dependent diligence. So let's see how this works itself out. The question becomes, what are you accessing? What are you plugged into? What is powering your life? The story is told of a professor who called IT, and this is actually a real story sent in by an IT person. This is the picture that they took, and they'd moved offices, and this professor called up IT and said, I plugged in everything, my computer, my printer, I plugged it all in, and nothing works. Okay? IT guy comes, you know exactly what this is going to be, don't you? Right? IT guy comes and begins to look at the situation and trying to assess what's going on. And, okay, all right. You can be unbelievably smart in one area, but that does not mean you're unbelievably smart in every area, so it should humble us all, okay? And just so you know, the extension cord is plugged into itself. That doesn't equal infinite power, right? So you found a new, like, power source. You're like, infinite power. Okay, no. You have to be plugged in. So how do you plug your life into this power so that it can run through you? And the simple truth is, these are so simple, but the Holy Spirit's power is accessed by depending on him for help. So we depend on the Spirit for help. Here's your blank. The Spirit's power is accessed by depending on the Spirit's help. It comes in dependence. It comes in dependence. Romans 8, probably the greatest chapter of Spirit-filled living played out for us, says it this way. It says that we don't have our own strength to live the Christian life. If you live according to your own strength, according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, in dependence on the Spirit, believing and trusting in the strength of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So if we begin to think that we can advance to some superpower, I showed you this picture earlier, but it's a great reminder. We do not have superpowers. We don't have a reservoir of strength that we draw from. We don't go into a special telephone booth and find our Superman coat and like hop out and we're like ready to live. Paul says it to the Galatians. He says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, having begun in dependence on the Spirit to save you? Are you now being perfected by the flesh, your own strength? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law, by your own strength, or by hearing with faith? What's the answer? By hearing with faith, that's how he does the miracles. Yeah. So the Spirit's power is accessed by depending on the Spirit's help. So let's get really, really practical. What does that look like? What does that look like? What does it look like to depend on the Spirit? How do we access that independence? What's that look like? Somebody tell me. Let's just throw out a few things. What does dependence on the Spirit look like in your life? There's one key to it that we talked about that's really big, but there's a lot of others. Jonathan? Yeah, pursuing him. Like, look at him. Yeah, what else? What else? What's the key to dependence? Prayer. Yeah. Like, the key to all of this is living a life that's saturated with prayer. So as we go to live out our virtuous living through the power of the Spirit within us, we're asking God for strength. God, I am not a joyful person. Would you make me joyful? Prayer. God, I am not a peaceful person. I'm not going to find peace any corner of my life. Would you make me a peaceful person? God, I'm not self-controlled. Would you help me to be self-controlled? God, I'm not Jesus. Would you make me into him? There is nothing in me that is Jesus except you put it there. So please change me. Dependence is worked out in the context of prayer. It's communion with God. It's being with him. So that what shines out is not us, it's him. Go back to the telescope. Our shiny telescope. Or is it him that we're showing off? Skip this quote because I don't have time. I'll give you the last blank. The last blank is the Spirit's power is accessed by following the Spirit's leading. So we access this by depending on the Spirit, and we access this by following the Spirit's leading. So we're praying, Lord, would you do this in me? But then as the Lord begins to move in you to do those things, you do them. So Galatians 5 would be a super clear passage for us, and this is where we'll finish. Galatians 5 reminds us, so how do we depend on the Spirit's leading? We follow him. And we follow him in this way. We follow him by walking by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So it's this active communion with God where we're constantly praying, Lord, I want to be like Christ. You want me to be like Christ. So would you make me like Christ? And then when God moves to make us like Christ, we obey. So God within us is saying, okay, I'm going here. So to have Spirit-filled living is to say, well, I'm going there too. So, okay, you're going here. You're going to say, you want me to be honest like Jesus was honest. And so in this situation, I'm tempted to tell a lie right now. And the Spirit is saying, okay, we're going this way. That means that I am too. So I'm following the Spirit's leading. I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. Where the Spirit is going, that's where I'm going. So I would ask you, is that how your Christian life is lived? In dependence and following. The Spirit's power is accessed as we depend and follow on the Spirit's help and leading. So depend and follow because God is in you. It is better that Jesus left because in you right now is the Spirit, and the Spirit is in you to produce virtuous living. So let's access it by faith and obedience. And let's begin to say, okay, Lord, you made me for virtue. That's what I want to be.